Hey, what's up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Michigan Golf Podcast. Garrett Smith here with you guys, and this week on the pod, we're going to kind of rewind a little bit. I've mentioned a few times in previous episodes that I've been wanting to put out kind of a course review and share with you guys Pilgrim's Run up in Pearson, Michigan. So this is going to be the episode to do it. Last week, I kind of gave you guys a recap of the Grand Rapids City Championship. We talked Watermark Country Club and just kind of how I performed in that event. And since then, I've just kind of been laying low a little bit. I've gotten out to practice some. I've got a new putter in the bag, and I've actually got another putter on the way. So I'm going to have a couple of new flat sticks to put to the test this week. I'm going to be getting out tomorrow with a couple of guys down at Macatawa Golf Club down in Holland. So we'll be able to put out a pot on that. And then just kind of getting ready for this weekend. I've got the Mitten Golf Tour event out at Quail Ridge. So I've mentioned that a few times. So Paul and I are going to get out there and tee it up in that event this Sunday. So later this week, we'll be putting out our standard precap for the event. We'll talk about Quail, kind of what our experience is like, and what the course is, at least to our knowledge, is going to hopefully play like. And we'll kind of put out some predictions for winning score and what we might shoot. But this week, again, just kind of wanted to revisit Pilgrim's Run with you guys because haven't done that yet. So hang tight for a quick ad. When we get back, we'll talk Pilgrim's Run. Awesome, guys. Well, welcome back. And again, let's talk Pilgrim's Run. So I've been kind of promising this pod for a while now. So today just happens to be the day that we get to kind of profile Pilgrims and put this out to the public. Because if you guys haven't heard of Pilgrim's Run, you got to get on Google and look it up. Because as a Michigan golfer and kind of sharing Michigan golf with you guys, this is one of, in my opinion, kind of one of the must plays in the state. And if you don't kind of, I mean, if you don't know much about Pilgrim's Run, and these guys have been kind of off the beaten path and kind of I don't want to say underrated, because definitely not underrated, but just maybe slightly unknown, I guess, because a lot of people don't really know where Pearson, Michigan is. And when you're looking up golf in the Grand Rapids area, there's so many other golf courses and stuff right in the kind of close vicinity to the city. But Pilgrim's Run, it's a 30-minute jog up 131 north, out of GR. So not a distance outside of the city that's going to stop anybody from taking the drive up and checking it out. But Pilgrim's Run is, I mean, you jump on their website, check it out, and you see right away on their homepage. I mean, they were number 5 on the best of 2018 list for top 10 golf courses in the US. In, again, 2018, they were number 1 on the top 25 courses rated by condition. And 2017, they were number 25 on the top 50 golf courses in the US as rated by Golf Advisor. They've hosted US Open qualifiers. They've been top 5 in the state by Michigan Golf Live. Favorite golf course to play in West Michigan based on some rankings put out by the Grand Rapids Press. It's hands down one of the coolest golf courses that I've had the pleasure of playing in and around this particular area. And so again, if you don't kind of know where Pearson's at, Pearson, Michigan, I've actually never been to the village of Pearson myself, but you're talking right between Cedar Springs and Howard City. So again, those might also be kind of two no-name towns for you guys, but you can't miss them. You get on 131 heading north out of Grand Rapids towards Cadillac, and you'll pass Cedar Springs, and a short while later you'll kind of bump into Pearson. And if you've gone to Howard City, you've gone too far. So double back south on 131 from there, and Pilgrim's Run is just to the west of 131. And you take the exit and you get off, and you're immediately kind of in the middle of nowhere. And it's just kind of old country roads, and you take a jog off the highway, and then you hang a right, at least based on the exit that I take. And you kind of go down this dip up the hill, and it's a heavily wooded road. And again, you're kind of like wondering where Siri or where Google Maps is taking you. And all of a sudden, right there on the left, just kind of tucked in the trees, you'll see this beautiful sign that says Pilgrim's Run Golf Club. And it's a gated entrance, and it is a beautiful long drive back through kind of the forest. And you'll come across, and you'll drive right alongside hole one. So immediately you can look to your left, and you can kind of get an idea and a visual of what this golf course is going to have to offer before kind of pulling up and seeing the starter shack and the practice screen, and then on the right to the driving range. And really kind of a small kind of low-key clubhouse, nothing crazy. And kind of a small, low-key parking lot too. And so for the quality of the golf course, it's a really kind of humbling entrance to the facility and kind of welcoming to kind of golfers of all skill levels. So just, I can't say enough about this place because I've been playing it. Gosh, my coach, Randy, who I've mentioned, he's good friends with the head pro and kind of director of golf out at Pilgrim. So Randy and I would get out there once a year-ish at least, probably since, gosh, when I was in high school back in 05, 06. So took a small hiatus from Pilgrims, of course, when I lived down south in North Carolina. I didn't get out there at that point. But since coming back, I still get out there at least once a year and play it with a couple of different groups of guys and have a good time doing it. But it's one of those courses where, it's hard to explain. It's because you get out there and this is the type of golf that kind of makes you feel like you're really at peace and just truly disconnected from everything else that goes on. You're just kind of on this, if you could picture taking whether it's a golf getaway or just a vacation of any kind, and really feeling like you can disconnect and step away from your computer, your email, your cell phone, the television. You get out to Pilgrim's Run and it's just kind of has that peace and tranquility just about the entire property. And the wildlife is plentiful. The entire course and area is fenced in. So you've got deer in there that are just kind of roaming around. You'll most likely see them. Plenty of birds and waterfowl and things of that nature. So there's going to be an opportunity to not just play some great golf, but kind of see some natural stuff. I mean, things that you get out of Grand Rapids and you get out of the city and you've got this kind of oasis of a golf course up in Pearson. And it's just very, very unique. And the golf course itself kind of reminds me of something that you might play significantly further north. And if you guys are familiar with up north golf here in Michigan, you get a lot of kind of rolling hills and heavily tree lined and just kind of more secluded feel to the golf course. And that's what Pilgrims offers. And right from the very first hole. So the first hole at Pilgrims Run is a par 5, and it's a beautiful opening hole, and not just aesthetically pleasing, but just a great way to start your round, because I played out there just a few weeks back and we played the tips, and again, par 5. So there's some fairway bunkers, some up the right that make great targets. If you're a drawer of the golf ball and you want to aim at something through the fairway, you can aim at those. There's a bunker on the left side of the fairway that if you are aggressive and want to try and cover that with a fade, that's doable too. But it's kind of got some uniquenesses to it, because you go out and the fairway goes kind of angles to the right and dog legs back to the left before again kind of dog legging back around to the right, up to the green. And there's a couple of tall pines on the right side up in the approach. And so this course immediately gives you some pretty significant character and opportunity to kind of be aggressive and have some fun. So I hit a tee shot out there and drew it off those right fairway bunkers that I mentioned, ended up in the fairway. And not being a terribly long par 5, if you kind of go right at the greens, because this is where you kind of can get creative, because they've got these trees on the right side of the approach that are roughly 100 yards out, and there's kind of a little gorge, a little valley down to the right. Nothing too penalizing, just long grass and stuff like that. But you can take the straight shot at the green. So I was looking at about 190 yards, kind of as the sprinkler head says, to kind of go around if you want to lay up to kind of a favorite wedge yardage and then flip a wedge in there to a green that really kind of favors an approach from the left. So if you lay up, you're going to have a great approach shot and kind of have a good opportunity to throw a wedge in there, and green slopes kind of back right to front left. So it kind of plays for that angle. But in my instance, I had the rangefinder out and shot only about $175, 178-ish. And for me, that's a 7-iron. So I jumped on a 7, threw it up in the air, and landed at middle of the green, left myself a putt for eagle, and ended up 2-putting, making birdie, going 1-under 3-1. And that's kind of, again, one of my favorite things about Pilgrim's Run is it just gives you the opportunity to just get off to a great start. And I think that's so important in a round of golf when you're getting out with friends or in competition, and just getting off to a good, smooth, friendly start. The fairway is wide and forgiving. The green is plenty big for a par 5. You can go for it in 2, you can lay up, and even if you do, you've got a good shot at making birdie. And so it's a very friendly opening hole. And then you get to hole 2, And Pilgrim's immediately kind of starts to show you its teeth a little bit. And what I mean by that is Pilgrim's Run, beautiful, lots of character. There are going to be plenty of holes where it's going to kind of give you great opportunities to score, and then it's going to give you plenty of holes where you're going to have to sit there and play course management and kind of pump the brakes, because one wrong move and you're going to be making your bogey, your double bogey, your triple bogey, or who knows what else. And so hole two of Pilgrim's Run, for me, it's a dogleg left from the tee box, regardless of kind of the tee box you play. And the fairway kind of goes out, and you don't need to hit it too far. I hit a 4-iron off the tee there, and you can get aggressive. It's significantly downhill. So the further left you go, the more of the hill you're going to catch, and the further down you're going to run. And if you want to risk it, I mean, it's maybe makes two a birdie hole, but for me, I've always played it as a par hole. So I hit 4-iron off that tee and play out to, there's a pine tree through the fairway that you can aim at that I'm not going to get to with a long iron. So I aim at that, and if it draws, great. If it goes straight, fine. I happen to end up just in the rough on the top of the hill, which, again, I kind of took the conservative approach, because if you leave yourself a longer second shot, which for me was about 155 yards, you're in a unique position where you can't see the putting surface. So you got to walk up, take a look at the green, figure out kind of pick at the top of a tree you're going to aim at in the distance, and kind of dial your second shot off of that, because you can't see the green. So you got to kind of figure out where the flag's at. And what's tricky about this hole is to the right of the green, it's very friendly, very forgiving. There's a huge hill. So if you do miss right, there's a chance that you'll kind of bounce and bound down onto the putting surface. But if you miss left, there's a huge pond, and it's going to catch your ball every time. And the green is kind of an L shape. So it's kind of like an upside down L. So you've got the small front corner to the right, and then it goes out and then wraps around the back of the pond to the left. And if they put that pin on that back left corner, it is a dirty hole location. And that is just a spot where they are going to test you and test your discipline, your course management, because it is accessible in the sense that if you know the course and you're familiar, you can kind of, the whole green slopes right to left towards the pond. And so you can kind of swing one in there, land it middle of the green, and let it release back to the left. But if you don't know the course and you try and fly one back there, you bring a lot of pond into play. It's a small back shelf. You can bounce over, and it's just going to lead to a lot of trouble. So for me, that pin was front, which was fine. 165, I just kind of threw a 9-iron up there and just let it kind of bound down on the front of the green, and ended up two putting for par, no trouble. But one of the guys I played with, his name's Brian, he hit driver off the tee and played it into the fairway, and it kind of rolled down the hill. He had a great second shot in, where he only had about 110, maybe, I'd guess, and could see the putting surface. So he had an opportunity to be more aggressive. And again, it's just kind of how you want to play the game. A little bit more risk, maybe a little bit more reward. He ended up knocking it on as well, but two putting for par. So hey, same score. So no pictures on scorecards, right? And on hole three is kind of one of my, I don't know, I've never gotten along with hole three. It's a slight dogleg left. There's marsh up the left side, more fairway bunkers up the right. And for whatever reason, I just always, again, maybe it's just because it's a friendly start, I like to birdie the first hole and kind of keep the round in check from that point forward. I, again, play conservative on three. I tend to hit a long iron off of that tee box, which leaves you a pretty long ways in. I hit 4-iron off the tee and still had 180 yards in. So it does kind of have some teeth with some length on a few holes, this being one of them. But again, huge putting surface on this green, very, very long front to back, and very segmented. So you've got the front left corner that's kind of down in a little bowl. You can go up to the right side, which is going to be a little bit plateaued kind of shelf there, which isn't very significant in width. So if they put the pin up there, it's kind of a squeeze. And then there's kind of a crown in the middle of the green, and then there's a back section, and they had the pin in the back that particular day. And so I ended up going 4-iron and then hoisting a 7-iron up there, just thinking if I can catch middle of the green, I'll probably funnel to the back, which is exactly what happened. And ended up leaving myself about 12 feet for birdie and knocking that one in to go 2 under through 3, which was for me an awesome start. I was super stoked about that, especially heading to the next hole. The next hole is a short par 3. And one thing I haven't mentioned yet is that Pilgrim's Run, all 18 holes are named. They have a name for every hole. And I don't have the scorecard on me right now, otherwise I'd kind of dish those to you guys as well. But Hole four is one that I will not forget because it is very appropriately named Deception. And it's a short hole, par three, that measures 130-ish, maybe. But it's got a huge putting green, very, very deep front bunkers. And it's one of those where just kind of where the hole is located on the property, the way the wind swirls through the trees, and the way kind of the undulation of the land, the way the tee is kind of elevated, and then you got a dip, and then you kind of go back up to the green. And it, to me, it always looks like a pretty flat shot. Like, tee and green are pretty comparable in height. But kind of the deception, I always under club, and I just for some reason can never conquer this. So I hit a wedge in there, a 52 degree wedge, which is my kind of stock 125 to 130, and landed on the front and didn't cover the top edge of the bunker. So I kind of hit on the hill just on the top of the on the bunker, and then kind of bounded back into the sand. And next thing you know, you're taking a very easy 130 yard hole and having to get up and down from a bunker that's easily 15, 18 feet deep, where you can't see the putting surface, of course, and you're having to just kind of throw a bunker shot up there and see what happens. I got very fortunate. I threw one up there and hit it pretty hard. Thankfully, the harder you hit bunker shots, the more they tend to spin. So I ended up throwing this one onto the back of the green to a kind of a middle pin and left myself probably 25 feet for par. And got very, very fortunate to knock in that putt to save my par and remain two under through four. So I was pretty stoked about that. And then heading to hole five is a downhill tee shot to an uphill second shot, dogleg left par four. And they've got a couple of different sets of tees. And so if they stick you on the left box, you got to kind of walk over there and kind of really be deliberate about picking out a target, because you don't want to bite off too much of the corner unless you can bomb a driver, hit it high, and kind of draw it around there, because you can't see the landing area if you do try and cut that corner a bit. It's very easy for the tops of those trees. It's deceiving in the way that because the tee is elevated and you're going back downhill, you think those trees are coverable. But I've played with plenty of guys that try to butt off more than they can chew on that corner, and it's amazing how the tops of those trees will just grab your ball and just drop you down into the woods, and it's not position A by any means. And then there's the right tee box, which really kind of opens up the hole, makes it more of a straight shot. Then you can kind of see more of what you've got to work with and just kind of play one up the fairway. But again, I played conservative, hit four iron off of this tee, and just kind of, it was downwind, downhill, so just ripped that, and I left myself maybe 155-ish into that green. Again, uphill to a very, very significantly sloping green from kind of back left to front right with runoff on the right side. So to a back right hole location, I kind of just punched the 9-iron, just kind of squeezed it in there with a fade and made sure to kind of get it back to that back shelf but not bring long into play. So for me, just kind of a squeeze fade with a 9-iron was the shot, and ended up with about 15, 20 feet for birdie, which I did not make. Ended up two putting for par to remain two under. But again, good golf hole, really, really cool design. And one of the things about Pilgrims that this kind of hole reminds me of is how tricky the greens are, because not only are they very significantly undulated and segmented, but you got to kind of be aware of the topography of the land, because there are going to be a lot of holes out there where you want to know where the low land is and kind of where the high spots are, because it's going to significantly impact the break and the speed of the putts. And this particular hole, I was putting from pin high left, and it looks like a downhill putt. It feels like a downhill putt. Everything about it says it should be a downhill putt. However, it's actually an uphill putt. And so you kind of play it a little too tentatively. And I left mine a good 2.5-3 feet short. And it's one of those things where if you play there often, you're going to know these little quirks and the little tricks. But if you don't, you're going to have to just kind of fly by the seat of your pants and see what happens. But hole five is a great par hole. It's, and you're never going to be disappointed with that on five. And especially heading to six. Six is an awesome par five. The second par five on the course. And for the front nine, the par fives are super, super gettable. This one has a huge, 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 I can't even express how large the landing area is. So downhill, there's a fairway bunker out there right smack dab in the middle of the fairway. So you can play up the left side to the fat kind of part of the fairway. Or if you're kind of bold and aggressive and want to kind of shorten the hole a bit, You can go to the right of the fairway bunker. There's plenty of room on either side. And for me, it's even from the tips, thankfully, I mean, I can put enough heat on the ball where that fairway bunker is actually coverable. So I aim right at it and just smoke it. If I go too far left, if I aim too far left and hit it straight, I can end up in some trouble in the trees through the fairway. So if I aim right at that bunker and just smoke one, she's going to 9 times out of 10 cover it, and I'm going to be left with a short iron into this par five, because I got to think the hole maybe from the tips is like 480. Not long at all, but totally cool, because the second shot is difficult. So it's not a par five. It's gettable, but it's not one that is going to make it easy for you. And I had 140 yards in, but you're going straight uphill. And I'm talking like 50 feet probably from the level of the fairway up to the green, with greenside bunkers kind of just stacked on the left side, which is nice because they will catch shots that come up short and prevent them from ending up in the trees. But if you miss right, the fairway, depending on what time of your day you're playing, how hot it's been, how short the grass is cut, things like that, your ball can land up there by the green and roll 30 yards back towards you if you're not careful. And this green is one of the smallest ones on the course too. So for being a par five, and even though you have a short iron in and you're thinking, hey, I could make eagle here, potentially an easy birdie, you do have to be calculated. And this green is very narrow. It kind of angles front right to back left. And distance control is of the essence. It's premium on this hole, because if you go long, you're going to kind of bound down over the cart path and leave yourself with a very poor chip shot. Or if you come up short, you're going to be in bunkers and also leave yourself with a pretty intimidating bunker shot. So what I did here, the pin was in the front, which is kind of the more accessible pin. I just kind of punched the 9-iron up there, playing for front of green, knowing that I wasn't going to go long because I didn't want to kind of mess myself up there. So ended up just in the fringe short and two putting up there, knocking in a birdie putt to go 3-under through 6. And pretty great. I mean, great start. I'm not going to downplay that. I mean, it's a great start. I was off to the races there at that point. And with holes 7, 8, and 9, there's still a few birdies to get. But after hole 6, a couple good par fives, you get a couple birdies under your belt, you're feeling good. Hole 7 is you're going to step on that tee, and that hole might as well be named Buckle Up, because you got to just buckle up for this one, because it's a par 3, back downhill, but predominantly into the wind. I mean, most of the summer, I mean, if you catch it in the spring or fall, it might be a little different, but it's every bit of 220 to 230 yards from the tips. I mean, it might even be longer, but I always play at about that 220 number. So huge, huge putting surface. So again, even if you do hit the green, you could end up with a 60, 70, 80 foot putt. And so par's no bargain, even if you hit the green in regulation. And there's a oak tree, maybe, if I were to guess. It kind of overhangs short right of the green. But for me, being a drawer of the golf ball, it makes a great target, because you can kind of aim at that tree and swing it off of it. But you don't want to swing it too much, because there's marsh to the left, hazard down there. There's a greenside bunker that will catch your ball if you do happen to miss left. But it's no bargain hitting out of that bunker. It's actually a very, very difficult bunker shot. But I ended up hitting kind of if I remember right, a 5-iron. It was a back pin. I was just playing to that maybe 195, 200 mark to kind of cover the front going down the hill. Hit a little bit too much draw. Ended up in the left side, just in the rough, not down in the sand. So not bad, pin high. And wasn't a too tough of an up and down. Again, knowing that I'm chipping back into the hill, kind of into the grain and into kind of the resistance. So gives you an opportunity to kind of throw it back there and just let it check up. And I ended up having just about maybe 6 or 8 inches for par to kind of hold it 3 under par. And so again, not a very easy hole. My buddy Brian, he's an older guy, and he ended up hitting, this was into the wind, and he ended up hitting driver and just trying to rip that and hit it right over the stick and ended up just off the back of the green, but it was still a super cool shot. And then going to 8 is another hole where pilgrims will say, hey, man, I mean, you can try and be bold. You can try and risk it for the bird here, or you can just play safe and play smart and make easy pars and see what happens. And so that's what I do. So eight is a dogleg left par four, maybe 380. I don't know. If without the card on me, I got to kind of guess it's about there. But fairway kind of doglegs right to left. There's a big, big fairway bunker that, again, if you know the distance to cover that, it's not in play and it's not a big deal. You can aim right and kind of leave yourself up on top of the plateau there in the fairway, or you can go down the hill further to the left where you're going to have a shorter shot, but then it's going to be uphill to the green, so you're going to have that test. And if you go too far straight, you're going to be in long grass, kind of long fescue. So you do have to be smart. I mean, you want to know your carry distances and you want to play to the fattest part of the landing area that suits your game. And so for me, that was another, I think I hit a 5-iron off that tee, maybe a 6. I can't remember. It was a couple weeks ago. So, but anyway, I played at the conservative route, just went to the flat part of the fairway up top, left myself 140 yards in. So nothing crazy for me. That's just a pitching wedge. But again, Pilgrim's is going to kind of tempt you with some dicey hole locations. And so this green is kind of another, not super small one, but smaller, at least kind of right to left. Not a whole lot of room there. And then there's a back shelf that's kind of up and plateaued. And then there's a small front right corner that's tucked over a greenside bunker. And I tried to squeeze that pitching wedge in there, kind of similarly to how I spoke about the 9-iron back on hole five, kind of that trap squeeze fade that just kind of comes out a little lower with cut spin and hopefully lands once and then checks, and executed it pretty well. It ended up landing just past pin high, just to the left of the flag, and skipped up into the fringe. And even though I only had about 8 feet for birdie, it was a very, very slick downhill putt. So ended up rolling that one a good 5 feet past almost, because just, loss of focus, or just kind of got too hung up on the read and wanted to make birdie, get to 4-under through 8. Just speed got away from me a little bit, but I did make the comebacker for par, so easy enough there. And then going to 9's a very friendly hole, but it's sneaky friendly, because from the tee box, it's a straight par 4. Again, probably in the neighborhood of 400-ish yards, nothing crazy. Some good fairway bunkering, some good targets to aim at. You just don't want to miss left. Left is jail. You're down in the woods. But what's kind of sneaky is the way the contour of the fairway is and the way these fairway bunkers are placed. There's some up the right, there's one up the left, and it just kind of hides the fairway from you. So I aim at this one kind of middle fairway bunker, which isn't really in play if you hit a long iron, because it's through the fairway and more just kind of as a target for you. But I hit an iron at that and tried to draw it off of it, and I ended up getting kind of jammed up and squeezing it out to the right, and ended up probably 15 yards right of the bunker on the flight, kind of flight line. But I figured it was being the rough and all that, and we get up there and it's just on the right side of the fairway. So the way the fairway kind of wraps out, it's more forgiving than it looks from the tee. So you can be more aggressive, and I probably should have. It's one of the holes where I kind of wish I would hit driver more, because I can get past the trees on the left to take those out of play. I can get past the fairway bunkers, take those out of play. And again, it's just a much friendlier landing area than it looks, but I just always kind of err on the side of caution. And maybe that's something I should assess, kind of the conservative nature of my game sometimes. Because it wasn't always that way. I used to be a little bit more of an aggressive player, and maybe I need to get back to that. But again, just, I didn't hurt myself with that particular shot. However, I did take my wedge and kind of leaked it out to the right, came up short, ended up in the rough to a green that's not really that difficult. There's a greenside bunker and kind of a runoff to the front left, but that pin was front middle, super accessible, very, very easy shot. And just kind of, I leaked it out to the right and came up short in the rough and let the chip shot get away from me, and then didn't make the putt for par. So I ended up carding my first bogey of the day on 9, which was kind of just a lazy, scrappy bogey, one that I wasn't too hip on after playing a very comfortable and clean 8 holes of golf. So making the turn 2-under par, still super stoked with that, because I mean, why not? It's anytime you can be under par at the turn is a good round of golf. And even more stoked because I'm heading to 10, and 10, the back nine is a really, really cool 9. And I think it's a little tougher it adds kind of some more complexities to the golf course in the front. The front's a little more, in my opinion, it's friendlier. But you get to 10, and you think it's friendly because this was a par 4, measures maybe 310 yards, something like that. But again, two schools of thought, and this is what Pilgrim's Run opens you up to. I mean, you can play conservative. You can hit that, shoot. For me, it's probably going to be like a 7-iron or a 6-iron off the tee. There's a fairway bunker left. There's a tree on the right. And so you kind of got to fit it in there if you're going to lay back. And then you leave yourself a kind of a flip wedge, which is going to be, again, uphill because the tee shot does kind of go down to the fairway and then back up to the green. Greenside bunkers on the right. Big, huge oak trees on the left. And so it's one of those where, hey, do I take a cut at this and try and rip a driver and squeeze it in there and get greenside, or do I lay back? And I was driving the ball well. I felt pretty comfortable with my game. And so I ended up taking the driver, even though a cut is not my ball flight of choice. I figured, what the heck? I mean, you're 200 par through 9. You might as well just kind of keep plugging along. So I aimed right at the big oak tree on the kind of front left side of the green and just smoked it. And at the time, I didn't have the M6 in the bag. If you've listened to the last couple of podcasts, I went from M5 to M6. I had the M5 in the bag, and the M5's hot. It's just a hot driver. And so I lasered that big oak tree at from the tee box where we were playing. It was probably 280, I think 285, 290. And I just nutted it and somehow ended up carrying. I aimed right at that tree and then carried the left side of it. So I ended up past the green in the woods, which was not position A. And honestly, in hindsight, I mean, I've always had a tough time playing this hole because the green is tough. This is one of those ones, if you've ever heard someone say, hey, that's where they bury the elephant, there's an elephant buried in the middle of that green. I'm very confident of that because it's such a significant undulation. There's the back kind of section of this green where the pin was cut when I played. Then there's a front section and just this huge mound right through the middle of the green. That's just, it's insane. So whether, I mean, if you're not on the right side of this, you're toast. And I ended up being in the woods, which is never on the right side of anything. Wedged it out, chipped it on, and ended up rolling past the pin, ended up in the fringe, and then two putter for bogey. So now I'm kind of really getting salty because after, again, playing a clean 8 holes, going 3 under, I've got back-to-back bogeys on 2 pretty not difficult golf holes. And so kind of bummed about that. But all's well because 11's a par 5. So let's go to 11 and try and make a birdie and get this thing back on track. And straight away, super easy tee shot. It's incredibly wide. Again, kind of Pilgrim's Run gives you that opportunity to kind of be a little, not sporadic off the tee, but they're very generous in their landing areas. So you don't have to worry about kind of squeezing too many shots into tight places. So I just hit driver and just tried to rip it. Ended up in the left side of the fairway, about 220 yards out. And this, I was 220 out to a back hole location. And again, this is a green that is very long front to back and very narrow right to left. And they buried another elephant on the right side of this green. It's crazy. And so for me, I tried to swing a high draw in there. And I always do this because I aim at that hill knowing that if I catch the buried elephant, it's going to roll down. It's going to come back and at least get middle of the green if you carry it deep enough. Otherwise, it'll just be on the front. And the back of this green is dicey because it just kind of narrows and it really kind of pinches in. So if they put the pin on the back, it's tough. But this pin was in the middle. So I ended up kind of playing for front of green yardage. I had about 220 to pin-ish, so I was maybe 200 to front. And I just tried smoking a 6-iron, just hitting a big high draw in there and just trying to catch front of green, give myself an uphill putt for eagle. And caught it just a touch toey and fat and ended up just short of the green in the rough down by the greenside bunker. Again, not a bad spot to be because you're just kind of pitching back up. And chipped it up there to about 5 feet. So again, good opportunity for birdie. But this is one of those things where Pilgrim's greens will kind of get you if you're not careful. Because I referenced the undulation and the buried elephant that just kind of funnels everything left. I got to think this 5-6 foot putt was a right edge putt. And I hit it and it breaks right. And I thought, what the heck? Because I hit this putt exactly where I want. Ball rolls end over end. Not very significant length. And played it on the right edge. And the ball rolls about just an inch outside right. And just kind of baffled. And so this is one of those where you kind of got to know the greens. It definitely helps to be familiar with the putting surfaces. But what's sneaky is the way they've got the bunker on the left side and the way they've got it kind of mounted up above the bunker. You really almost, with that middle hole location where it was at and where I was putting from, you're getting more influence off of that slope coming off the bunker than you are getting from the right side of the green and the hillside there. So I'm thinking everything's going to go right to left, but that bunker and the undulation they built around that kind of just funneled the ball right. So anyway, made par. No harm, no foul. Just kind of a missed opportunity for an easy birdie to kind of bounce back off back-to-back bogeys. And going to 12, this begins a stretch of holes for me where, you kind of got to, going back to hole 7, you got to buckle up. This, because not hard, but just not, for me, it's just never been a gettable stretch of golf. And so 12 is a par 4, super wide landing area. I think I've said that on almost every hole at Pilgrim's Run, but it's blind. You can't see it. So you're teeing off from the back. There's a huge bunker, which you can just fly over. And then the fairway kind of goes up, plateaus, and then goes down the other side. And so if you got any kind of length, you'll be able to cover the hill, regardless of kind of what tees you're playing. It's there more of a design feature just to kind of give you that blind tee shot effect. And I hit driver. No, I didn't hit driver on this hole. I didn't hit driver as often as I should have. I actually hit 4-iron on this hole again and just kind of played the conservative route, because if you do go left and you go too far left, there's kind of some long fescue grass that kind of cuts in. And so I wanted to take that out of play and just played short of it, kind of the course management side of things, knowing that even if I hit a 4-iron off the tee, I've still probably got a pitching wedge or a 9-iron in, which is exactly what I ended up having. I had a buck 45 and a pitching wedge to a front hole location. And this one just kind of got away from me a little bit, in the sense where I think I was still a little salty after back-to-back bogeys. And then it just kind of goes to show how golf can kind of psychologically linger on you. And if you let that happen, it's hard to rebuild momentum if you're constantly trying to kind of, or looking back on the past and trying to overcome maybe what happened a few holes ago, things like that. Where if I just kind of feel like, in hindsight, after telling you guys about this, if you just kind of keep the pedal down and you're just trying to make birdies and trying to just kind of improve and focusing only on the hole at hand, then you've probably got a better opportunity to do so. Because this pin was in such a gettable spot. The front left side of this green, the pin's in a bowl. I mean, you throw anything in there. It comes down from the left, it's going to funnel to the hole. You come in from the right, it's going to funnel down to the hole. But what did I do? I kind of laid up. I ended up coming up short, catching the hill, and then rolling back off the front of the green. And the one spot where you don't want to go, because it's just going to draw you back off into a collection area, which I ended up getting up and down, saving par. Nothing crazy. But this is a green, too, where if that pin is anywhere but front, you're going to have your work cut out for you, because it is a big, big putting surface, very segmented. So I predominantly, when I play here, the pin is either front, kind of front, middle, or middle right. And I haven't played to a back pin on this green in a long time, at least to the best of my memory. But it's a good par hole. It's fine. So at this point, still one under through what, 10, 11, 12, heading to 13, which is another par 5. And so cool stretch here, going drivable par 4, 10th, par 5, 11th, and par 4, 12th. And then par 5, 13th. So on the card, it looks like a great stretch to make some birdies, but it's going to test you. And this hole from the tips, 13, par 5, last par 5 on the golf course. This one's a sucker par 5, because it's every bit of, it's got to be 600 yards. Without having a card handy, I still want to say it's 600 yards, because it's just, I've never gone for it in two and gotten there successfully. And it's the tee shot is downhill. You're back up on top of the mountain and you're hitting down into the valley, and it's beautiful, beautiful tee shot. There's a fairway bunker on the left, trees on the right, so it gives you a great opportunity to kind of shape a shot. And visually, it's very, very welcoming, gives you some good kind of sight lines and some targets to pick. Unless you toe hook one into the trees, and which is what I ended up doing. I ended up toe hooking one into the trees, left of the cart path, and end up having to punch out. So punch out across the fairway, just into the right side, where at this point, being such a stupid long hole, I still have like 240 or something like that for a third shot. So at, going straight back uphill, mind you. So this hole is very, very difficult because, again, whether you're going for it in two, whether you're going for it in three, whatever it might be, you're going to have your work cut out for you because it's a huge green, but it's perched up on top of this hill. And so anything that comes up short, which is very easy to do when you're coming kind of from so far down, coming back up the hill, very easy to come up short. That ball is going to roll 60 yards back down the fairway and into the kind of the flat, into the collection area, if you can call it that, on this par five. And it's insane. It's a difficult par five. I could probably drum up old scorecards and probably count on one hand the number of times I've birdied this hole, because it's just not a good birdie hole for me anyway. And so at 240 out, I just tried to rip an iron, knowing I wasn't going to get there, but 3 wood was too much and long as jail. So I was like, let's just take the long iron, play up the left. It at least gets kind of retains some flatness over there. So if I can get on the left side, pitch it across the green to that back hole location, still have an opportunity to save par. Executed the 240 shot well, played it to the left into the flat, but then left myself just kind of an awkward pitch shot across the green, which I thought might be a good play, but just it breaks so stinking much left to right. So that green is significantly sloped from back to front, and it just kind of leaves you in a spot where I pitched it in there to about 6-7 feet and missed the par putt. So bogey, back to even par, and very quickly took a pretty effortless 3-under par through 8 start and turned it into an even par through 13, which, again, no complaints, even par, still a great score, and I was having a ton of fun doing it and playing with a good group of guys. But after getting off to kind of a good, crisp, clean start, it's like you just want to kind of keep going. You want to keep going low. So heading to the next hole, the 14th is a par 4, and it's just straight away. And that honestly might even be the name of the hole, something along that line, because it's just a straight par 4. You just kind of, you can see everything. It's right there in front of you. The fairway does go down if you hit it far enough, or you just kind of run down into the fairway and you won't be able to see it finish, but leaves you just a simple shot into the green. I hit, to nobody's probably surprise, I hit a 4-iron off this tee into the right side of the fairway. I left myself an 8-iron into the green, and big green, but kind of one of the easier ones on the course, and hit a really good shot into about 8 feet and ended up 2-putting for par. So missed opportunity there, which was kind of a drag because that hole is kind of ho-hum, but obviously want to make a birdie after coming off bogeying 3 of the last 5 holes. So that didn't work out. And then heading to the only par 3 on the back 9, and this par 3 is, it's not a hard hole, but it's definitely not an easy hole. And so I wish I could remember what this one was called, because it was also very appropriately named. And this par 3 just sits on this crown. It's a whole turtle shell up there. And so the green has got a back section that's kind of top tier, comes back down. There's probably about a 3-foot slope down to the middle of the green. And the middle's probably, 20 or so feet, I would guess, in depth. And then you've got a front portion where that front section is probably another 1.5-foot rise from the middle. So it's kind of a little stair stepper there. And you, again, got to be very attentive to distance control and make sure you're in the right spot. Where the pin was on the front of the green for us this particular day, so there's some greenside bunkers that are kind of come into play there if you can miss short right or short left. And it was right about that 140 number. So I did the whole kind of squeezy cut 9-iron thing again. And unfortunately, it was just a little too much. I ended up catching the middle of the green, and oh man, I 3-putted that one. Shoot. So that was a huge drag, because middle of the green, again, just kind of having trouble getting momentum going. Left myself about a 50-footer or so, and just kind of got the speed wrong. I played it, just hit it a little too hard, kind of trying to come back up that rise of that front section of the green. And once I got back up there, you get to that front section and then everything kind of runs away from you. So I ended up kind of scooting this one about 8-9 feet by, and just a poor judge of speed, and maybe kind of loss of attention there, and just didn't capitalize on what should have been kind of a, not an easy two putt, but should have been kind of a ho-hum par. Ended up being a bogey, and now we're one over par and heading to the kind of the home stretch, 16, 17, 18. And in my opinion, this is probably one of the coolest finishes of any course around that I know of. And I love this finishing stretch because it's just, it's a beautiful finishing stretch and it's a scoreable finishing stretch. And so 16 is a par four, long par four. And this is kind of one, it's, in my opinion, probably the prettiest hole in the golf course. And this is a golf course with 18 really, really pretty golf holes. But this is by far my favorite because you tee off up high, you go down into this very, very, very wide landing area. There's a fairway bunker on the left, and then there's a pond on the right. And that pond really squeezes in. It goes all the way up to the green. A lot of times, if you're playing this course in the late afternoon like we were, it's just kind of a beautiful setting coming down the stretch. And when the sun's starting to kind of go down, you kind of get not twilighty, but, you know, and it's later in the afternoon, so the sun's kind of a little more golden. It's really pretty. But anyway, I took an iron off the tee. No surprise there, because as that pond comes in, it really squeezes the landing area. But I can hit 4-iron, and I'm not going to catch that pond. And even from that distance, I'll probably leave myself maybe a 7-iron in or a 6 at the most. So it is the conservative route, but it's just kind of what I like to play. However, it did not do me any favors today, because although I hit the 4-iron, hit the fairway, this is the second shot into this par four. I'm trying to get one back because I do not want to shoot over par. With three holes to go, I do not want to shoot over par. And so now I'm at two over at this point. No, one over at that point. Kind of future forecasting here for you guys. But try to hit this 7-iron in there. And unfortunately, from the right side of the fairway, you've got to go over all of the pond and leaves very little room for error. The pin was cut on the back right corner. So I just kind of, I think, was a little salty about bogeying the par three and wanted to make a birdie. So I try and squeeze one back there with a high cut. End up catching it just a hair fat and coming up short in the drink. And so penalty shot. And wasted one there because this green is huge to the left. There's so much room to the left. I had zero business going at this pin cut on this back right corner of this green because there's nothing but trouble there. If you miss right, you're in the hazard. If you miss short, you're in the hazard. If you miss left, you're putting for birdie. So anyway, just kind of a careless mistake and not one that I like to make very often. But fatted it, so what are we looking at? Two in, three out, hitting four. And again, kind of just knocked a four shot onto the green, two putter for double, so go from one over to three over very, very quickly. However, thankfully, the final two holes are pretty easy par fours, and easy in the sense that they're short, and if you're strategic and play them right, they're very birdieable. And so 17, gosh, this one's got to be called like straight and narrow or something like that, because again, short hole, very straight but very narrow, so it's maybe 350 yards, but fairway bunkers, the fairway undulates. So again, kind of a common theme on a lot of the back nine is you can't see the landing area. If you, the further up you go, the less likely you are to see your ball kind of come to rest. And this hole, to no surprise, being shorter, it's back uphill to the green a little bit, not a huge rise, maybe 12 feet. So nothing significant, but those shorter shots, you're just not going to get the spin on them. So for me, there was really no worth in going with driver, trying to bomb it out there, because I'm going to be left with that 60-yard pitch shot to about a 12-foot elevation there on the green, and I'm not going to get the spin. Depending on where the pin's at, it's just going to be a tough shot, because again, this green has a very, very small top right corner shelf to where it funnels down to the middle of the green, and then it's kind of pretty flat to the left side. But this pin was in the middle. I hit a 4-iron off the tee, laid back to about 100 yards, flipped a wedge in there, and ended up making birdie. So thankfully got it back to two over par, which is fine. Still kind of a little disappointed kind of where I was at through 17, especially with the just kind of the clean and easy 3-under par through 8 start. So I gave a lot away on kind of that stretch in the middle of the golf course. But going to 18, which is such a cool finishing hole, and I think my only complaint about this hole is the fact that it is number 18, because it's from the back tees, I think it's got to be like 290 maybe to the middle of the green. So it's a downhill par four. Dog legs kind of right, and dog legs because I mean the fairway dog legs. It's a straight shot, but it's all carry. So you go down, the fairway kind of loops around the left. There's fairway bunkers, of course, and there's a huge pond on the right side. And so this is one where you're either going to kind of just hit a six iron or something out there to the left, play towards the fairway bunkers, which make a great target if you're taking the conservative route. You can just put yourself in the fairway and then flip a wedge back to an uphill green. Kind of nothing really to it. You don't want to come up short because then you will funnel back down. And again, it's probably about a 15, 18 foot rise probably up to the putting surface. So to me, it's just been that hole where you just always go for it. At 295 carry to middle, it's just I hit three wood and I just kind of always aim right at the center of the green. If it draws a little, fine. If it fades a little, there's a little bit of room, but that does bring more of the hazard into play. So I like to aim at the left side of this green and almost intentionally try to cut, which for me, being a drawer of the golf ball, tends to be a push fade. But it works out more often than not. And at least getting greenside, you're left with either kind of a pitch shot or a chip shot. And it's a very easy par, or you can make a good birdie. And I have driven this hole a couple of times, but the reason I don't like it being 18 is because it's the final hole, obviously, and you're waiting for the green to clear. And Pilgrim's Run, when I've played there, it's a pretty steadily busy golf course. I mean, tee times kind of follow suit, one right after another after another. So if you're waiting for the green to clear on 18, you're almost assured an audience because the group from 17 is going to catch up to that tee box and they're going to be watching you hit. So kind of gives you a little extra pressure. Whether you like that or not is kind of up to you, but just know that it's probably going to happen if you wait for the green to clear. And so we ended up doing that, and the group behind us, we were a threesome. The group behind us was a threesome, and one of the guys in our group actually happened to know a couple of the guys in the group behind us. Coincidentally, another couple of guys from Grand Haven that were buddies of this guy. And so we ended up playing the final hole as a sixsome, which was kind of fun. But I hit three wood, took it right at the left side of the green, ended up fading, and missed to the right side of the green, which was fine because it's just down in the rough. There's the greenside bunker down there, but I avoided that in the rough. Not an easy pitch shot, just kind of wedged it onto the green to about 20 feet and ended up two putting for par. So kind of a ho-hum finish, but fun to kind of wrap it up with a six-some and just a beautiful finishing hole to Pilgrim's Run. A great opportunity to, I mean, I have driven this green before. I have made eagle, and it's a fun hole. So that's kind of what I was going for when I'm two over on the tee. I was thinking, man, if you can just kind of juice a three wood and stick this middle of the green somewhere, give yourself a putt, maybe roll in an eagle, shoot even par, which at Pilgrim's is 73. So a little different. You don't play too many par 73 golf courses. And so I think that's kind of cool and unique. But again, just kind of a great finishing hole, a lot of fun. I mean, this course, I can't speak highly enough about it. It's one that I, again, play maybe once or twice a year, but I wish I played more often, and I really have no excuse not to, because it's a lot closer to downtown Grand Rapids than I had kind of always thought. I used to go there coming from Grand Haven back when I was growing up, and from Grand Haven, it's a bit of a jog, and even from where I'm at, kind of between Grand Haven and Grand Rapids, it can be about a 40-minute drive, but it's just because it's back roads trying to get up to Pearson. But if you're coming from Grand Rapids, straight shot up 131, take the opportunity to go play Pilgrim's Run. You're not going to regret it, and honestly, I think we had a 3 o'clock tee time, which is when their twilight rate kicks in, and so peak season, it's $45 for 18 holes with a cart, and you're not going to get a better deal. $45 to play 18 holes at Pilgrim's Run. You're going to get a course that's in just primo condition, and you're just going to have that opportunity to kind of get out and disconnect. It's, again, one of the few courses I get out to where you really feel like you have the place to yourself. Every hole is kind of isolated and secluded. You see guys occasionally in passing, or if you let them catch up to you on 17 green, 18 tee, but you're out there, it gives you a great opportunity to enjoy nature, enjoy time with your buddies, and play a great golf course for a great price. So, I just kind of wanted to share Pilgrim's with you guys. If you have played it, awesome. If you haven't, we're kind of approaching that 55-minute mark. This has been one of my longer podcasts because I wanted to share the whole course with you guys, and I tried to keep it tight. But long story short, just go out there and experience it for yourself, because you're not going to regret it. It's just going to be one of those kind of must plays in the Grand Rapids area. So if you're in town, if you're around, if you want to get out there, hey, shoot me a message on Instagram at gsmithgolf. Again, I don't play there enough. I'd love to play there more. So my problem is usually getting a group of guys to go out there with me. So if you want to play Pilgrims and you want to tee it up together, shoot me a message and let's set it up. So I've got a pretty freed up rest of the summer and fall. And so why the heck not? Let's do it, guys. But thanks for tuning in. I appreciate you guys just kind of joining and staying tuned into the Michigan Golf Podcast. Later this week, we're going to have again, I think I might have mentioned it earlier, but it was an hour ago. So we're going to have a pre-cap with Paul on the pod later this week talking about quail. So stay tuned for that. We're going to talk Mitten Golf Tour and everything that that's going to be for us and all the fun we're going to have this weekend. So thanks again for joining. We'll catch up with you guys soon.